Welcome, friends. This is James Corbett of the Corbett Report. Today is the 3rd of November 2014 here in Japan, and we are on the line talking to our old friend Dan Dix of PressForTruth.ca. If you haven't checked out his work, I highly suggest you do so, keeping tabs on all things NWO-related from my home and native land of Canada. Dan, thank you so much for coming back on the program today.
It's my pleasure, James. Thanks for having me.
Well, since we are going to be talking about Canada, of course we're going to be talking about that incident that has really dominated the headlines in Canada in the past few weeks, which of course is the shootings that took place at Parliament Hill in Ottawa very recently. And for those who don't know and weren't following your coverage, you did actually travel to Ottawa to cover that case as it was continuing to unfold, and collected some interviews and footage about the reaction to those shootings. And I think that's where I want to start this conversation. We haven't talked about this incident yet on the Corbett Report, so let's start by addressing the reaction-solution side of this problem-reaction-solution equation, because, of course, it's always in the reaction that we can find out the most about these events. And I'm very interested to get your take on the feeling on the ground there in Ottawa, and also just in Canada generally. I guess you're in Toronto right now. So what are people saying, thinking, feeling about this? Has it penetrated into the zeitgeist, and what kind of reactions are people expressing?
Well, the reaction, starting from when I went there, the day that it happened, when I arrived in Ottawa, I spoke with as many locals as I could, as many people who were attending the memorial service, and I got a general sense of the reaction. Obviously, a lot of grief. A lot of people were just in shock and very, very saddened by it, by what took place. But, you know, when I asked them about what kind of security measures may be coming into place after things like this, and how do they feel about seeing potentially an increase in police presence, increase in security around Parliament, around Ottawa in general. And pretty much every person I asked that was okay with beefing up security and having a more increased police state, so long as it makes them feel safe. And that was the general consensus that I was getting. And I think that we're starting to see a similar thing out permeating into the mainstream because of some of the bills that are now being tabled and some of the pieces of legislation they're trying to pass because of this thing, like the new bill, the Protect Canada from Terrorism Act. This is what they've actually called this thing. And now they're trying to give CSIS, the Canadian Security Intelligence Service, more powers to be able to monitor and track Canadians abroad, giving them more powers under the Five Eyes program. There's other legislations that's been on the table for a while that the Canadian government has been trying to pass under anti-bullying kind of legislation, but it didn't really get through under that. So now that this has happened, some of these old bills are starting to resurface again, and they're trying to push for, again, tighter control. They're trying to give the, for example, the immigration minister the ability to revoke citizenship of anybody who they feel may be a terrorist. So the bills have been on the table for quite some time, but now because of this, because of the fact that Harper is calling this an act of terrorism, they're trying to push through this legislation while the people still have the fear in their heads that, yes, of course we need protection. Can't you see what's going on here? Of course we need the state to step in and fix things for us, so let's just go ahead and sign these bills. So that's what we're seeing. That's generally still the reaction. People are willing to accept whatever the government right now offers as a solution, so long as it keeps them safe.
You know, I understand that this is just par for the course. This is not surprising that politicians parade on corpses in order to get their wish list passed through Parliament, or as we saw in the U.S. in the wake of 9/11, the Congress, of course, being railroaded into the War on Terror and the Patriot Act and all of that as a result of 9/11. But at least in the case of something like 9/11, I mean, thousands of people died, and it was a pretty spectacular event. Of course, we know it was a false flag event, but it was a spectacular event, and one can at least understand the sort of shock and psychosis that the American people were undergoing at that time. But in the event of something like this, I perhaps I'm too detached from sort of mainstream Canadian reality at the moment, but I, for the life of me, cannot understand how Canadians would be willing to transform the very fabric of Canadian society on the result of this random shooting, this crazy random act that now they're trying to portray as terrorism, as if this was some sort of grandiose plan by ISIS or someone, which of course there are no links that have been identified to ISIS or any organization like that, and yet they're still trying to pass this off as terrorism and as some sort of fundamental threat to the fabric of Canadian society. Are people really buying into this? Is that really the way people are understanding this event?
Yes, in a sense, because of the propaganda, simply because of how this is being portrayed through the media. Here in Canada, we don't hear about those types of things very often. You got to remember, just a few months ago, there was another crazy person who shot three RCMP officers, Justin Bourque. Now, they did not jump all over that, calling it an act of terrorism. Perhaps because it didn't quite play into the agenda. You know, this guy was not a recent convert to Muslim faith. This guy was just a white guy who was not involved in anything like this, so it didn't really play into their agenda. And the moment that something happened that plays into the agenda of going into the Middle East, potentially tying this in so they can try to get into Syria, that's a possibility. So we've seen it being ramped up through the propaganda on the mainstream media that trying to call these connections with ISIS. They started doing this on day one of this attack. On day one, the media was already starting to make connections to ISIL and ISIS, even though the facts weren't even in yet. They were just reporting this as terrorism. And I mentioned it in some previous videos that the damage is done in the minds of the Canadian people at that point. They're already, you know, under the impression that this is an act of terrorism. We have to pass these certain bills to get it done. You know, some evidence may come forward. We're still researching what took place there. And the facts will come in when they come in. But the damage has been done in the minds of the Canadian people already, because that this is being called terrorism. And it happened on day one that they started putting that propaganda out there.
Well, you know, if a dastardly act of terrorism by the most feared terrorism group in the world at this time is capable of killing precisely one guard at a war memorial in Ottawa, I think that would not in itself be enough to actually alter the fabric of Canadian society and pass all these laws. But again, I guess I'm so far detached from that mainstream psychosis that a lot of people are suffering through. And unfortunately, as you say, the propaganda machine was in full gear from day one, pushing the propaganda line. So unfortunately, again, it's not particularly surprising this is happening. Let's talk a little bit about the incident and what we know and what we don't know. Of course, they are trying to blame this on this Michael Bibo or whatever his name is. Let's talk about what we know about this character and what actually happened on October 22nd.
Well, we do know he's a very shady individual, had a lot of trouble with drug abuse. He was staying in a shelter. He had reached out a number of times seeking help and just did not get any of the help that he was seeking. And this is the work of a crazy man. I mean, he walked up and shot an unarmed soldier, which may have acted as the distraction in an effort to run up to the Parliament building while everybody was looking at the fact that somebody just got shot over here. He hopped in a car and then managed to get closer to the Parliament building, ran past some security cameras, quickly hijacked another car, got up to the front doors of the center block, and barged his way through there. And that's when a shootout took place inside of Parliament and the gunman was killed. So that's, you know, that in a nutshell is what we know of the incident itself that took place here. And so that's why we went down there on the very first day to just try to find out if this is exactly how things happened. And in a rare move from the RCMP, I believe it was the day after, might have been 2 days later, they released a lot of CCTV footage of the incident taking place, of the shooter making his way into Parliament, which you don't really see that a whole lot around here. It's not too often that the police are going to release footage like that. But they did so right away, and it showed, sure enough, that that this guy managed to run right through the front doors and was quickly gunned down when he finally got inside.
And this guy, this Zihav Bibo guy, was apparently is the son of an immigration official or something like that?
Yeah, there are some interesting ties to the government. In fact, there were some pretty big slip-ups and mistakes on behalf of the government's taking a response from his mother, where she said that he wanted to go to Saudi Arabia to study the Quran. They misinterpreted what she had said and mistranslated it and told the media that she said her son wanted to go to Syria. And this is a pretty big mistake. And they responded to that saying, we're very sorry. We did misinterpret what you said. She said Saudi Arabia, not Syria. But hey, guess what? People who want to go fight in Syria, they often go to Saudi Arabia and Turkey and places like this first. So it doesn't even matter that we screwed it up. We're still looking at him being a terrorist. It just goes to show there's some shady things going on there as well. And I believe she was involved with Immigration Center.
That's right. And I mean, a mistake that just again, as I mean, the wrong headline gets out and everyone remembers that. No one remembers the retraction. So I'm always a bit cautious about those mistakes. But also, apparently, this individual was arrested in 2004 and spent 60 days in jail for drug possession charges, I believe. And so there are some interesting things in his background that would suggest that he has been in touch with RCMP and authorities at various points and is connected through his mother to the government itself. I don't know. My mind goes to the dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of incidents that we've seen in the United States over the last several years, where basically every single terrorist plot that has been foiled by the valiant officers of the FBI in the last several years in the United States has tracked back to the FBI itself, who set these individuals up in various ways and then foiled the plots that they helped to set up. And I don't know. I mean, again, I don't know if there's enough details to say anything of the sort about this incident, but it looks at any rate like it could be along those lines. So I don't know if you've done any research into those lines or any of those types of connections.
Yeah, we're looking deeply into that right now. And as you said, over the last year and a half or 2 years, at least here in Canada, there has been strict conditioning from CSIS, the RCMP, the Canadian media to condition people, to prepare people for such an attack and to prepare them for calling this terrorism. We had the Canada Day bombing that was foiled, a terrorist plot that was foiled. There was another terrorist plot by some people who were apparently trying to hijack a train en route to Montreal from Toronto, I believe. Another one that was foiled. A lot of the pundits, the media guys here, are referring to the Toronto 18, an infamous case of foiled terrorism plot. That they constantly point to say that they're doing good work, but now they're trying to say they need more powers to be able to pre-arrest these guys before they start thinking about radical ideas. And they're trying to, this is straight out of Minority Report type stuff. They want to try to get the powers to arrest these guys in pre-crime ways. But we have been, as Canadians, being conditioned for this, for an attack. And it's not a huge stretch of the imagination to think. We already know he's had contact. As you said, he was arrested, I believe, again in 2011. We know he's had some contact, and that's all it takes sometimes. Is whether or not this was an informant or somebody who could have been set up and incubated and coerced into this, that is very well a possibility. We can't put it past the Canadian government to do such a thing. In fact, they've been caught red-handed doing these types of things before. So it's very, very, very possible that this is completely set up, and we're definitely looking into that. I'm not about to come out right away and call this a clear false flag. You know, we're still looking at all the evidence, but absolutely, that is still on the table. It's quite possible that this young man was coerced and set up to pull off such a thing.
Well, whatever the event, in whatever way it took place, it certainly has, as we talked about, generated that psychosis in Canadians who are now willing to accept more strict government measures as a result of this. So it is important, I think, that we do concentrate on that. And in that regard, I'm interested in some of the feedback or what you've been hearing from people directly about your work and about what you're doing in the alternative media to try to bring this to the attention of people. I've had some emails from some of my Canadian listeners saying that they can often talk to people about 9/11 or events like that, and they might get some arguments, but nothing heated. But when they try to mention any of these types of ideas regarding the Ottawa shooting, there's a visceral reaction from people. Have you noticed that on the ground there in Canada? And if so, how can we work to break through that conditioning and propaganda that the people have been subjected to?
Well, I've seen a very interesting reaction, James, because I put out a video to let people know that, you know, I'm not going to come out on day one and call this a false flag or not. I just wanted to tell people, you know, this is something that we have to weigh all the facts. We have to look at this, and we can't just jump to conclusions here. That's what the mainstream media does. You know, we have to be responsible journalists and look at all the facts before we come out and say something like that. And of course, for saying that, I am a government-controlled shill. I am part of the opposition. You know, I'm controlled opposition. I'm gatekeeping the truth from everybody because I dared not to call this a false flag from day one. Really, I think people need to be careful when it comes to, you know, doing all of your investigating just on your computer, watching YouTube videos. It's very, very easy to get caught up in. I don't know, this meme that has been generated over the last few years about everything being a hoax. Nathan Cirillo was a man, he was killed, and this indeed is very real. Does that mean it's a false? It very well still could have been a false flag, but I'm certainly not going to jump on board of the, you know, everything is a hoax meme like some other people are. And again, I'm not ruling anything out. I'm you know, still looking at this. But people have kind of jumped all over me recently for not coming out and calling this one a false flag on day one.
Yeah, it is pretty disturbing that even in the alternative media, people can be attacked for simply saying that we need evidence and we need to consider these things carefully. So that is something to keep in mind. And it certainly can explain some of the visceral reaction that people have to this when there's people going out there and saying that the soldier never existed or he didn't die or any of that kind of stuff. So it is important to keep in mind the best way to approach this with people who are still trapped in that matrix and how we can best oppose that. So I know that you are engaged in the work there at pressfortruth.ca of continuing to unravel these things and try to counteract these narratives that make the anti-terrorism legislation and other things that much easier to pass. Tell us just generally about some of the work you're doing and the state of Canada these days in terms of people's conditioning to believe this type of nonsense.
Well, this is exactly what we're trying to counter, is the conditioning and the propaganda. So we're constantly, just trying to be on top of these things and cover these things when they happen. I am, actually on the road right now, in between places doing a little traveling. We got some big news, to announce very soon, probably within the next week or so. So we're ramping things up here at Press for Truth, quite a bit. So it's all I can say right now, but people stay tuned for an announcement coming probably within the next week about where we plan to take Press for Truth in the very near future. But there is a void here in Canada as far as getting this quality information out there and done in a good way. And we want to do our best to kick up our efforts to just make the productions better, make the videos better, try to bring on some new people to get involved. So at Press for Truth, we've got some big things coming for January of 2015. So we're constantly, out there trying to just get on the grounds, do the investigative journalism and capturing the footage and getting these videos out there. And over the next 2 months, we're going to be building things and getting ready to launch something very big and very exciting that I just can't wait to tell everybody about what we're going to be doing. So stay tuned for the big announcement. We'll have that out at pressfortruth.ca probably in about a week from now. But we're ramping things up here big time in Canada here, James, because there's a void to fill, and we're going to try our best to get the information out there to people.
Excellent. Well, I'm looking forward to that announcement. I hope the listeners are as well. Of course, they can follow you at pressfortruth.ca to see your reports about this shooting and all of the other work that you've been doing there. So my hat's off to you for continuing to do this work. It really is a void that needs to be filled, as there is not a lot of alt media coverage in Canada. So I'm glad to see that there's people like yourself on the case. Dan Dix, always a pleasure talking to you. Thank you again for your time.
Thank you very much, James. Take care.